and gentlemen, boys and girls. Yeah, no, I'm not going to be able to
you
do it.
You failed.
I failed. David is not with us for this week's Geekly Debate.
Yeah, welcome to the Geekly Debate, I guess.
I am Gomer, and with me is...
Adam.
And...
Taylor.
And what is on topic this week, Taylor?
At the suggestion of David, who's not here, but he's with us in spirit, because we're using his idea, best doomsday device.
And this is from any genre, any medium, movies,
sure, yeah,
comics,
why not? I mean,
anything we want.
We could narrow it down to comics, I guess, because there's like a billion trillion doomsdays in comics, but let's just do everything at once.
Okay.
Why not?
I don't know if we want to milk doomsday device out into several episodes, but...
Well, man, we're going to get 4 or 5 doomsday podcasts out of this
from
one.
What we're talking about, sounds like we are getting kind of a wealth of different universes.
Yeah,
and,
it's very diverse.
Mediums even represented.
David is actually at MTAC this weekend. We'll have coverage of that all week. But, yeah, we miss him. Oh, you guys want me to pick mine? I'm going to pick the Death Star.
Someone had to.
Get the obvious.
Freaking Luke Skywalker, man. Why can't he just leave shit alone?
What an asshole.
What an asshole. But the Death Star was created by the Empire. If you've been living, you know, on a deserted island somewhere for the past 50 years.
Yeah, for those of you who never saw A New Hope.
The Death Star was created by the Empire in order to keep the Republic in line without
the means of a government. It's kind of like an even more extreme nuke, because this doesn't blow up cities, it blows up entire planets.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's...
I'm not sure how it works.
It's about as overwhelming a weapon as you could possibly have.
Yeah. There's really nothing you can do to stop it unless you have an X-wing
in the
force.
Unless you shoot down a really, really small hole.
Okay, let's try to address the obvious.
Yeah.
The Death Star is somewhat famously vulnerable.
It had some engineering difficulties.
If they had built like a couple of 90-degree turns in that exhaust port,
this is what happens when you have low-bid government contracts. Okay? This is why companies like Halliburton exist. Because we know they're going to do the job right. That's why they get no-bid contracts. If Halliburton had built the Death Star, the Empire would have kicked the Rebellion's ass, and there never would have been a number two. Boom.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Luke could have used the Force to bend it down. I don't know.
Luke wasn't even that good at the Force then.
No, he was like a...
He was just kind of winging it.
He was
literally X-winging it.
That's kind of a... pretty lame way of phrasing that, but okay.
That's a lame way to phrase it.
Okay, but we've been talking shit on the Death Star. It is still probably the most iconic weapon of destruction that's ever existed.
It's awesome.
It's the most.
It's awesome, except for the fact that it blew
except
up twice.
For one porthole.
It did exactly what it was designed to do. It blew up Alderaan.
It blew up Alderaan, man. Boom.
One check.
One check.
Okay, so it's got one in the win column and one in the loss column.
Two in the loss column. Man. It blew up twice.
The first Death Star has one in the win column and one in the...
That second Death Star was pretty massive and good, too, but yeah.
That one blew up
Lando took it
ships out,
so it was a piece of shit. If Lando Calrissian is taking out a Death Star...
So we're going to extend this into dumping all over
the...
He didn't have the Force.
Did Lando have the Force?
But they got to that one before it was finished.
Yeah,
but the Emperor's plan, but you know, whatever.
He did
drive all the way into that one and blew up the reactor. Luke just shot like a little tiny torpedo through a little tiny hole.
I don't know why they don't have bigger guns with a better aim. Why couldn't you just hit that thing going straight down? The porthole. Why couldn't you just go straight down? I know I'm talking shit on my own pick. But couldn't you just... Did you really have to fly through this tunnel? Couldn't you just go straight down?
Well, presumably they have some sort of...
I'm
like
doing hand motions.
They have some sort of like anti-ballistics technology that would intercept a torpedo that was coming from a great
distance.
Woohoo!
Like you're all clear, kid. Where did he come from? He wasn't shot by all those ballistic weapons.
But
I'm trying to help you.
I've totally ruined Star Wars now for all of our listeners.
No, I mean...
Jar Jar couldn't do it. I've done it.
Look, any good movie is going to have these things.
Of course. Of course they are. But I thought about that forever. You know, why couldn't they just shoot the hole? It's not like a basketball goal where, you know, you're stuck by gravity and you have to shoot it. You can just go straight down. I don't know. Next.
Some sort of shielding. I don't fucking know, man.
That's right.
Headcanon that if you have to.
Why didn't the Emperor just build a room right next to that little porthole, and anybody who came close, you just force lightning them?
The Emperor wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't.
If he was there, he would have been blown up with everybody else, and then you wouldn't have had the other two.
That's right. Movies but I'm glad they blew up the Death Star, because then...
Then the Empire would have won.
Yeah.
That Star itself is iconic. It's destruction. Yeah. It's one of the most iconic scenes in any movie ever made.
Yeah.
Just the explosion has, like, a very... even the explosion itself has, like, this distinct image that sticks with you.
Yeah.
Like, the donut shape, like...
yeah, the ring, weird...
Yeah.
That would never happen in space, actually, if something blew up. The deGrasse Tyson, right? Who's got another doomsday device they want to talk about?
I'm going to go ahead and talk about the ultimate nullifier.
Man, this thing's always confused me, but go ahead.
Okay, so it made its debut back in the 1960s in the Galactus trilogy. Back then, you could call three issues that were part of the same story a trilogy rather than the first half of an arc, yeah, like it is today. But
there's always a joke that Lee and Kirby would have wrote the entire siege of it in three panels. Go ahead.
Okay, but anyway, back in the... one of the more iconic comic stories that's ever existed, the first appearance of Galactus. Mm-hmm. The FF are just completely and utterly overwhelmed by a being that's effectively a god.
Yeah, well, that's what Kirby's idea was when he created the thing.
The legend goes that back in the day, Marvel would do their stories, Stan Lee would write a short synopsis... hand it over to the artist, and they would draw it out, and then he would look at it and fill in the narration.
Known as the Marvel style of writing.
Yeah, Marvel method, yeah.
Marvel method, yeah.
The urban legend is that the synopsis for the Galactus story was just one sentence. The FF fight God.
Stan Lee was sick that week. He had the flu.
And so from there, we have this overwhelming sort of larger than life villain that they cannot hope to ever combat.
I mean, literally larger than life, a planet eating being. Yeah,
someone who's way beyond the scale of anything that at least back then we'd ever
up
seen.
To that point. Yeah, there were
with fashionable hat wear,
very fashionable hat.
I don't know where
you ever see his original color scheme.
No,
he originally didn't have the purple and blue going on. There was like green and like
weird.
He had a big G on his belt.
But what I've heard is that Galactus appears differently to all the races that he encounters.
They worked that out,
so that's our fault that he's got the purple hat. It's our fault.
His original color scheme was pretty absurd, like that first panel he appeared in. They kind of,
and then they decided to go with Herc. Hercules ended up getting that.
What?
Hercules, the character, the Marvel character, didn't he have a big H? And he's got almost the same color
scheme. Okay, yeah, well, that's kind of a weird thing to jump onto.
It was.
Okay.
Ultimate nullifier. Ultimate nullifier.
I mean, that's true, but... anyway, so the way they come about to actually beating Galactus is they sneak aboard his ship and steal his very own doomsday weapon, the Ultimate Nullifier.
Can I stop you there and say, isn't it weird that Galactus had a spaceship in this?
Not really.
Has he ever had that in
how
more
big is
recent?
The spaceship?
Very big. It's called Ta 2.
Yeah, it's
Ta
the same
was
way
the planet he was from in the old universe before it got collapsed.
It's the same way. What's his name had a ship? The Green Lantern.
Galactus uses a ship because
so it's a prison ship.
Galactus is all about conserving his existence, eating, not wasting energy. The whole reason he sends heralds out, the whole reason he uses a machine to convert a planet into energy that he can eat when he could do it himself, is because these things are so not only beneath him, but they are a waste of his energy, which the entire essence of his existence is
to be lazy,
conserving himself. He eats these planets to maintain his own godly existence. So it makes sense to me that he would not expend his own energy to fly around. He'd use a ship.
Okay.
So fuck you.
No, you're
either
right.
Way,
I get it.
So the ultimate nullifier.
So the ultimate nullifier.
The nullifier.
Presumably, I think they explained that like he had it on a ship because it was like the one thing he feared or whatever. Anyway, they.
Oh, he was holding it so that other people wouldn't use it against him.
Yes.
Okay. That's a bad idea.
He failed on that one.
You never bring your own. You know, you find someplace else to keep it safe. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would throw it into a black hole or something.
Myself,
but,
something.
Maybe he also feared what its power would do if unleashed. It would destroy the planets that he would eat.
Yeah, wants to eat.
Anyway, so he gets this thing. The FF take it, and they sort of point it at him, and Galactus is like, oh, I'll be back, you motherfucker. But no, I kind of like the Ultimate Nullifier, though, because okay, it's a bit of a Deus Ex Machina on the story over here.
But
I like the idea of this thing, this tiny little handheld device, not much bigger than a cell phone, is badass enough to scare off Galactus.
Yeah, so weird. Didn't they steal one recently in Original Sin? Wasn't that what they stole out of the Watchers HQ? Armory?
It's because Nova stole one and then gave it to the Watcher, and then the Watcher got killed in Original Sin and somebody stole it.
So there's an Ultimate Nullifier.
Out and about.
Well, that's a scary thought. And it's a scary thought because since that original appearance, it has become... It's a big deal whenever it shows up.
It's almost like the Watcher himself.
When they did JLA Avengers, one of the items of power up there with like the Cosmic Cube and the Infinity fucking Gauntlet was the Ultimate Nullifier. Yeah,
the reality-shaping gauntlet.
There was that issue right after Johnny Storm died in the Fantastic Four where Reed Richards goes to Negative Zone to threaten Annihilus to give him the course back, and he's using the Ultimate Nullifier as his threatening tool.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh man, Reed must be really out on a limb here.
It's the biggest big gun.
Willing to threaten someone with the Ultimate Nullifier.
In the Marvel U. It's the big gun.
Why is Reed threatening Annihilus with a cell phone?
Yeah.
A cell phone that could blow up a universe, apparently.
I'll text you. But yeah,
that's really all it is. Is it sends you a dick pic? Obliterates your mind and destroys all of reality.
So yeah, so then there's only one Ultimate Nullifier that we know of.
Because
there's a multiverse, and I think they've as part of Secret Wars.
There's an Infinity Gauntlet in every universe. Don't know off the top of my head of any other universe that has an Ultimate Nullifier.
Very big deal, I think.
There might be, important. But I just don't know.
Well, maybe that'll be coming up in Secret Wars. Maybe someone will have one.
Apparently, anyone can make a cosmic cube if you.
Easy. It's easy.
Well, okay, but the point is, people have made cosmic cubes. It's not this like singular existence type thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ultimate Nullifier kind of does.
And do we know its origin or like where it came from or its origins?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't
know
either.
Maybe it was a relic from Galactus's old universe, and that's why he had it. I don't know.
Never carry around the thing that's going to kill you. That'd be like a werewolf carrying around a silver bullet. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
If he was holding every silver bullet.
That
might be a good idea.
That's actually a good point. He's got every drop of silver in the galaxy. That actually might be a good point.
And he keeps it on his backpack.
Awesome. Adam, do you have a favorite Doomsday weapon or the best Doomsday weapon?
Well,
in your opinion?
David brought one up last night, and it made me go through my old VHS collection.
Oh, no, my goodness. You have a VHS collection?
I have a VHS collection, and I found my VHS copy of The Ultimate Doom, which is the, I guess, the big season finale for the first season of Transformers, the original animated series.
Yes.
And in it, Megatron's big Doomsday weapon evil plan is to make this giant space bridge.
Which is a teleporting device.
It's a giant teleporting device. And he teleports...
intergalactic teleport.
Yeah, and he teleports Cybertron into Earth's orbit, which...
Which he didn't want to blow it up. He wanted to steal the energy. It's easier to move it around if they're close.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so both planets are right next to each other, and it's just wreaking havoc on everything.
Yeah. Not really on Cybertron that much.
Well, Cybertron's kind of dead at that point anyway. Yeah. But
what are you going to do to Cybertron at that point?
It's all just a big metal clunk chunk.
Oh no, our precious scrap heap is getting more.
It wasn't as bad as the Wrecker homeworld, but still, yeah.
But it causes tsunamis and tidal waves and all kinds of...
But it was a fun little story because everybody's in action. All the Autobots are going all over the world doing everything.
Yep. It's interesting stuff. But yeah, all of this, you know, destruction and stuff is creating a lot of energy. And Megatron's just stealing all this energy and making Energon because why not? Because he's Megatron.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Classic Megatron.
Classic evil.
Megatron. I don't know if I could consider the space bridge, because it's not technically built to be a weapon. It's built to be like
a
Land Rover.
He used it as a weapon, though.
Yeah, true, but... I mean, I could use a baseball bat as a weapon, and I can say
this
is the best weapon.
Could you use it to destroy two planets?
A baseball bat? the ultimate baseball bat I could. A celestial-sized baseball bat. But no, I guess I couldn't use it to... Well, he didn't want to destroy Cybertron.
But he was going to destroy both of the planets.
And then what was he going to do? Megatron did not think this through.
Megatron never thinks it through.
But, I mean, they're still using space bridges in the new continuity, in the comic book stuff.
Yeah, but they're just using it for, like...
Like an elevator.
Yeah, like normal teleportation. Yeah. They're not using it to teleport planets into each other.
Jesus Prime. I love that. Optimus Prime's like Jesus in the books now.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Classic Optimus.
Classic Optimus. I don't know. The space bridge is cool. Megatron used it very well.
He did.
Classic Megatron.
What other Doomsday devices do we want to mention?
One from Star Trek that was kind of lamely called the Doomsday
device.
Star Trek gets a pass, but
Star Trek always gets a pass for me. Whatever they do,
they're usually better at coming up with names than that.
Yeah,
well, I was back. In the original series.
Well, yeah, okay, so, maybe back in the 60s, the Doomsday devices hadn't been played out so much that you could get away with just calling one a Doomsday
device. That's why it's so popular, because Star Trek maybe used it in one of their episodes. That could be an impact, a factor. Sure.
The influence of Star Trek is long-reaching. So maybe.
Yeah, most of the Doomsday, quote-unquote Doomsday devices that I've thought of are actually, like, people. You know, like Galactus.
Like Galactus himself being a Doomsday?
Yeah, Unicron.
Quote unquote device.
Yeah, Unicron. Doomsday himself, you know.
Well, Doomsday, Doomsday doesn't really wreck planets. He just wrecks people.
He wrecks them hard, though.
He'll kill everyone on a planet, yeah. But he won't.
He wrecks them really hard.
It's not as though he just, like, spends the next
really
200 years punching
somebody.
The earth.
Yeah.
He's just, like, punching the shit out of Mount Rushmore or something.
What about Black Lantern rings?
Again, they're not really wrecking planets. They're just wrecking populations.
But aren't they creating, like, a machine of doom in and of itself by resurrecting these people? Because they're not really people that they're resurrecting. They're zombies, and they're not people. They're more like devices, quote-unquote devices.
They've had some convoluted explanation where, like, they weren't even, like, the souls of these people. They were just, like, meat puppets.
Yeah. So wouldn't that be kind of device-ish?
Rings that wear the wearers or some shit. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be sort of device-ish?
No, man, you're losing me.
Okay. I'm reaching, because I'm having trouble coming up with...
If we're doing people, we've got, like, the Anti-Monitor.
Yeah, dude.
Well, Galactus again.
Yeah. The Destroyer, Thor, and isn't that his name, the Destroyer?
Again, that just goes and wrecks individuals, not, like, entire planets.
Yeah.
It's not really an apocalypse bringer like these other things. Tough, but not... You know.
Yeah, not planet. See,
if we're just counting really
tough
people,
how about the Annihilation Wave? How about the Annihilation Wave? Could that be considered a Doomsday device?
That's a group of...
It's a big army. Yeah. Even though they're mindless drones. Though they're mindless drones.
Look, okay, so let's just say now and forever
nothing
that
living.
Device can't be a sentient creature.
Okay.
Stupid Gomer.
Well, I'm reaching, man. I'm trying to find some good Doomsday devices.
The problem with most Doomsday devices is that they all fail.
There was the one from Doctor Who that succeeded, but they retconned it where he had never used it in the recent Day of the Doctor episode.
Yeah. They fixed it.
I forget what they called it, but it was
I don't
like,
remember either.
Like, it burns the earth clean or whatever, and he used it on Gallifrey to kill the Daleks and all the Time Lords.
We did mention the Genesis device from Star Trek.
I don't think we mentioned it in the podcast.
Oh, we didn't mention the podcast? Oh, well, we mentioned Star Trek. The Genesis device from, what was it, Wrath of Khan. Pretty cool. Not really meant to be a Doomsday device, but certainly did the trick. It did the job, if it needed to. Although they never really used it on a planet. That was the Klingon's goal, but they never got... Or that was Khan's goal, I guess.
Yeah.
Klingon's goal in the next film.
Khan.
Khan. Classic Khan. I loved his bangs. I wish I could have bangs like Ricardo Montalban.
You will never have
I will, I won't, like I won't. Dreadlocks.
None of us
not
will.
Bangs, yeah. Well, you kind of got some bangs going at him, maybe. If you did a little bob cut.
Man,
is this where we've moved to, from Doomsday devices to haircuts?
To Ricardo Montalban.
If we're talking about haircuts, you can talk about his. But no other Doomsday devices come to mind, man.
Okay, well, we've already said them, man. We're good. I like to be thorough. There's a difference between thorough and being redundant. I think we're good.
I like to be thorough to a point of redundancy.
Here's one that actually worked. The Cobalt Bomb and Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
That's a Doomsday device that actually worked.
In my research for this, I did see that. I don't remember that.
Beneath the second one,
I don't remember.
In the very end, and it's the one that the mutants are like worshiping. They think it's a god.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And we didn't really touch on the video game genre. I'm sure the video game genre is full of devices that bring doom on a day or a night. Why is it not a Doom Knight device? Huh? Awesome. This has been Geekly Debate. If you would be so kind, please like us, comment. If you have any ideas for future debates, send them our way, because
we're running out of ideas.
Well, I don't think we're running out of ideas, but this was certainly an idea that I had trouble finding
things for. What do you mean? Devices. You just said the Death Star. That's like the
easiest one. No, that's the best one. It's the easiest one. It's the only damn one I could come up with. But, give us a shout on the iTunes and stuff. Tell your friends, and check out OutrightGeekery.com. That's where we do this podcast and a whole bunch of other stuff we do. News, reviews, things like that. Check out Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. They are a big sponsor of us. We couldn't do anything we do without them. And until next week, geeks. Oh, wait, David's not here.
Yeah, it's up to you to redeem yourself now for your poor opening.
Join us next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.
Garbage.
Absolutely terrible.
Hit my music.